everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend John Couch, engineering and producing the show on this Tuesday. It's the 3rd of March, 2020. We are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, the voice for trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. Lots to talk about. As usual, let's get right into it. Terry Bracey from the nation's capital. Terry, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, who has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's the senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which has a couple of very important clients here in Tucson, including the city of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing just great. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday. And I know you follow sports pretty closely. Of course, spring's eternal when we have spring training, of course, is already underway. But this is really this decision that's coming perhaps today or tomorrow from the NC2A about playing the tournament. Going ahead and playing it basically TV only. No people in the stands. That could be really weird.
Can you imagine? I mean, Final Four is the hottest ticket in America.
Yeah.
And to see these guys playing in an empty arena because of this virus would be sad. It really would be sad.
And I didn't realize it until this story. I heard that 80% of the revenue for the NC2A comes over this over the March Madness period. So it would be obviously a huge hit to that organization.
It would, but I think they're pretty well fixed.
Yeah.
I think they do all right for themselves, the NCAA.
And well, hopefully it won't carry over to spring training before empty stadiums. But they're already doing that in Japan, I guess, with the start of their baseball season, playing games without anybody in the stands. Really,
from what I hear, the spring training stands have been full.
Yeah,
in Florida, and so I don't know about out west, but in Florida they certainly have.
Yeah, they really.
So we'll see. You know.
Terry, I want to turn to the editorial piece you had in the Arizona Daily Star on Sunday. Really good think piece. You were talking about the viability of Bernie Sanders, the current Democratic frontrunner. We'll see how things go after today, what kind of dent Joe Biden can make in the Bernie steamroller. You raised an interesting question. Is Bernie Sanders, Terry Bracey, today's equivalent of George McGovern, who lost every state, but I think he won one, Massachusetts. What do you think?
Well, you know, what I think is heavily influenced by what I experienced in 1972 when my first big job in presidential politics was managing the 14 Western states in the general election McGovern launched against President Nixon. We lost every single state in the West. And Senator McGovern, who was a candidate of the left in the anti-war movement and who easily won the nomination, as Sanders could, as you said, won only one state, Massachusetts, and unbelievably, only 37.5% of the vote.
Oh, boy.
So,
jeez.
It was quite an experience.
Why was George McGovern so badly defeated after walking away from the Democratic nomination? After all, the Democrats had a huge voter registration advantage, as I recall.
Well, they did. And the Republicans successfully associated him with the radical acts of the anti-war terrorists, who at that point were bombing university laboratories and all kinds of outrageous acts. And McGovern, who was a decorated World War II bomber pilot, was somehow portrayed as an anti-American, a socialist, and so on. The senator had, incidentally, had advocated the kind of $1,000 program subsidy that Andrew Yang was talking about this year. And, of course, that was 50 years ago. So That's what they did to him.
You wonder, why didn't the Watergate scandal have any impact on that race in 1972?
Well, we kept talking about it and trying to get the press's attention, but the full dimensions of what Nixon had done did not come into clear view until well after he was reelected.
So let's go back to your fundamental question. Is Bernie Sanders the George McGovern of our time?
Well, again, I'm burdened by my experience almost 50 years ago. But I think Senator Sanders is a weak general election candidate. He has the passionate support of only about 30% of the party faithful. But again, if he continues to win on a plurality basis in these multi-candidate contests, he's going to look like a winner and his bandwagon is going to get very long and he'll win the nomination.
And then what happens?
Exactly. Then what? And, you know, I'm obviously pessimistic about his chances to be elected president because of my own history. But there's more, Bill, you got to look at this. There's more than my history. There are arguments beyond that that maybe favor Bernie. Let's say America, really, Bill, has morphed into a different country than in the McGovern era. In 1972, 50% of the country was non-Hispanic white. And the country was only 209 million. Today, the country is only 60% white. And our population has grown to 327 million. It's a different country.
And a minority population that's much larger and growing every day, then.
Well, that's true. And again, in Sanders' favor, in 72, all minorities added up to less than 20% of the voting population. Today, minorities are 40%. Importantly, Hispanics in the McGovern era were only about 4% of eligible voters and played an important role in only a couple of states. Today, they are 18% and a significant block in many states. So minorities vote heavily Democratic, so any Democratic nominee, including Senator Sanders, would enjoy a solid base to start with.
Well, what about party identification, Terry Bracey?
Well, that's another plus for Sanders. According to independent Pew Research, the Democrats have an 8% lead in party identification. Against that, McGovern had 16 or 18% lead in party identification and still got licked. On the other hand, looking to the positive, Sanders would be running against an historically unpopular president.
So how does it all sum up to you?
Well, my old boss, Mo Udall, had a theory that American presidential races are won, what he called, between the 40-yard lines, sports analogy. The winners may be slightly to the left or to the right, but they all play around the 50-yard line. Bernie is calling for a revolution in America. Medicare for all, free daycare, free education, forgiveness of student loan debt, and a bright green environmental program that ends all fracking for oil and gas. Total costs of these programs can be distorted and easily portrayed as equaling or exceeding the country's national debt of $23 trillion. And that's way out of the mainstream, Bill, and I think, therefore, he might lose badly.
How about Biden? He had a really good recovery in South Carolina. How do you think Super Tuesday is going to play out?
Well, the really great thing is we'll know tonight.
Yep,
so
we will.
We have to wait. I think Biden will do well. I think Sanders will do well. The big question is Mike Bloomberg. He spent $500 million in ads. He's got a terrific amount of staff in all these states. He's gone about it in a very organized way, and he may have some appeals, and that would hurt Biden. So I'm anxious to see. The big question for me tonight is really not so much Biden. I think he'll do well, but how does Bloomberg do? That would be the big question for me tonight. And then I think how much will Warren hurt Sanders? And those are the real questions tonight. You know, I mean, as you know, Bill, there are something like 1,357 delegates up tonight in 14 states.
Wow.
And American Samoa. And Super Tuesday really is a super event this year. So I'm sort of faking it here because I'm not really sure how it's going to come out. I'm fascinated by it.
Me too. I think everybody is. Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Terry, hope you have a great day. Thank you, sir.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us, who contributes to this program once a month, one of two dozen great contributors to the Buckmaster Show. One of them's with me in studio, and that's Shelley Fishman. He couldn't make that thumbs down go much. That's pretty far down there, Shelley. Anyway, Shelley Fishman is next. But first, I want to tell you about Mona's Danish Bakery. Yesterday, during our Friday face-off, John Couch, remember what John Munger was saying? That wonderful testimonial he gave for Mona's Danish Bakery. John had never been up there. Went twice since we had seen him 2 weeks ago, and he just couldn't stop raving about the great Danish Kringle, Mona's home of the Danish Kringle. John thought he was going to get, he just ordered Danish Kringle. He thought he was going to get a little, you know, one individual piece. Got a huge Kringle, like would serve eight people. Anyway, take it home, have it later. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open right now for lunch. Of course, open every day. The grill gets fired up at 6:30. Ready to go. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. There's also a link to all of our great partners, sponsors of this program at BuckmasterShow.com. Shelley's next.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelly Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelly through buckmastershow.com or at shellyfishman.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and boy, do I wish Shelly Fishman had brought in his crystal ball today. Wow. Hey, how are you, Shell?
Okay.
weird day. We had the first time that the Fed has done an unannounced rate cut since the Great Recession in 2008.
And we got a full half point, 50 basis points, from the Fed today.
Got a little bounce from the markets.
Early
Everybody
in the morning.
Thought, oh, this is great. And then, bomb.
Sanity took over.
Wow.
Bill, you know, we've spoken on this show so many times about the idea that there's a bunch of cash floating around and nowhere to invest it. And so if you give corporations, you know, a half a point cut in what it's going to cost them to borrow, what they'll do is refinance some of their existing debt, maybe buy back some stock. But they're already not investing in new plant because there's no demand, or they can't forecast that demand. And already we've had very low interest rates for a very long time. So even though Mr. Trump might think this is an important thing to do, and some of the other central banks throughout the world might be looking at loosening credit a tiny bit, it's not going to have the kind of effect that a half a point unscheduled cut would normally have.
It's going to take more than that, I'll tell
it
you,
really
to get
will.
Out of this. We are headed into a worldwide recession.
I believe that's right, Bill. And I believe that we were headed for a mild recession in this country regardless because of the problems we were having with manufacturing and some service sector slowdowns, and also what's been going on in the rest of the world, which does affect our economy. We also had the Boeing problem and some other problems that were kind of forcing the economy to slow down by several tenths of a point, each one of those. And, you know, pretty soon a tenth here, a tenth there, it adds up to, to real GDP slowdown. This, however, is worldwide, and it comes, I believe, as an insult to what was already an overly long recovery. So I believe we'll go into recession. I don't think it'll be a very deep recession, and I don't think it'll last very long, but 2020 is when it's going to happen.
Supply chains could start coming back. China has the good news today, the lowest number of cases reported of the coronavirus in at least 6 or 7 weeks. So that situation looks like the epidemic there has peaked. And maybe we can get folks working again over there and get the supply chains back.
That'd be great if we can do that. Remember, we also have supply chains that reach Japan,
right,
which is nowhere near its peak of the virus, South Korea, and Vietnam. These are countries that have not yet experienced the depths of where this pandemic can go. So I wouldn't be too optimistic about that. I think what Americans need to do is turn on their televisions, not off, turn on their televisions and listen to people like Anthony Fauci and who are telling people how to prepare, what to buy, how to prepare for what would happen if schools were to close, if some other public venues were to be closed, how to do the safe thing, not the panicky thing. I know I tried to buy some hand sanitizer yesterday at Fry's.
Mm-hmm. There isn't any in the...
There's none.
Not that I know of in Tucson.
Right.
Maybe the United States. Who knows?
Yeah, so there are problems. The good news is people are hopefully heeding some of the advice that they're getting and are going to be prepared for whatever happens.
We've lost some icons in the business industry. Just yesterday, the chair longtime chair of GE, Jack Welch.
Yeah, that really got my memory kind of flowing. That's kind of interesting. Welch became chairman of GE, I want to say around 1980, 81. And he took that company from what was a highly successful company that was focused on electricity and electrical products. And he introduced something that became widely known as horizontal integration.
Getting into everything.
He got into everything. he got into finance. He got into industries that GE was ultimately incapable of managing. And when he left, in fact, what happened was the company kind of fell apart. Now, it takes time for a company of that size and success to find that it can't manage its subsidiaries. But that, in fact, was what happened. And GE today is a much smaller, more tightly knit company than when Jack Welch left it.
ITT went horizontal.
Yeah, the other giant, individual giant in horizontal diversification mm-hmm. was ITT under the leadership of a guy by the name of Harold Janine, mm-hmm. Who bought everything he could lay his hands on. ITT was originally a telephone company. Mm-hmm. They got into some other stuff. They got into some high-tech stuff during the Nazi era in Germany. Mm-hmm. They were actually one of the producers of telecommunications infrastructure to the extent of almost 20%, I believe, of their total revenue stream came from Nazi Germany.
I did not know that.
But and I think Janine took over it around 1970, 72, and he started buying things like Avis Rent-A-Car and Wonder Bread. and of course, the management team or the board of directors at IT&T had not a clue as to how to manage that stuff, and some of them got into a bunch of trouble. IT&T is eventually diversified everything, and now they run some universities. But the danger here, and the reason it was, I think, an important lesson to learn, is today we have a different kind of diversification going on in our biggest industries. A perfect example, of course, is Amazon, which has now, gotten its tentacles into a lot of things that you would not have considered to be their normal vertical stream. Mm-hmm. A vertical stream is, let's take an oil company. You own the wells, you own the transportation, you own the refineries, maybe even the service stations.
Yes, yes.
What Bezos started at Amazon was essentially a retail business that became bigger and bigger and bigger with tentacles into all areas of retail, such that they began to have an effect in the marketplace of stultifying or in some cases destroying traditional avenues for retail products in the bookstore and traditional
brick and mortar
stuff.
Right.
The question is, number one, are they too big? Mm-hmm. But number two, have they gotten so broad that it's impossible to manage? And we see that with Facebook. We see it with some of the communications companies, Disney and AT&T, mm-hmm. that have now diversified to the point that not only are they providing, in the case of AT&T, the delivery of their entertainment or information product, they also now own the means of production. Mm-hmm. They own some of the advertising and the distribution.
Sure.
And so the question is, what do we as a country, what does the world do to regulate something that we have no knowledge of having ever regulated? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more of it. I mean, if you listen to Elizabeth Warren, she says, break it up. Sanders says, break it up. Not sure break it up is the right answer, but there is a problem that is more and more becoming well or better understood. And when we take a look at our recent history two generations ago and see what happened to those companies that became overly greedy in terms of expansion, I think we can see parallels to what's happening in today's economy. And what we know is sometimes when you break up these companies, the parts are worth more than the whole.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing for stockholders when companies get broken up, but we need to do it rationally, and we need to have a clear policy discussion about under what circumstances you might do something like that before we make regulatory decisions that would, in effect, destroy companies.
Market is down over 800 points. Shelley, your advice for investors is?
Do not panic. Do not sell without getting very good advice from your advisor. This is not the time to panic. Please work with your advisor. Don't listen to what's being said on television about, you know, buying the lows,
the dip,
and all
yeah.
of the dips. Work with somebody whom you trust to give you good advice, and then take that advice. Whenever greed and fear come into your decision making, that's really bad.
Very good advice, Shelley Fishman. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too, Bill.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Well, Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, 50 years, still growing, celebrating that 50th anniversary. They've got 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and a lot more, plus the home of Zocalo, an extraordinary collection of beautiful pottery from Mexico, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, all sorts of gifts. So it's a twofer. You get all your plants, and then you get your beautiful things for the patio and inside your home at Zocalo, 3384 East River Road. Check out greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for more information. It's time for our monthly visit. Our Your Meds segment with former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean and founder and now President Emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. And boy, do we need some trusted information, Dr. Ray Woosley, right now about coronavirus. Dr. Woosley, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good. Thank you, Bill.
So many people are worried. They're saying, well, the flu does kill more people every year, so why should I be concerned about the coronavirus? How concerned are you, Ray Woosley?
I'm very concerned, Bill. I don't want to alarm people. No one wants to get anybody to panic. But I think everyone really needs to know that this could be major. I mean, it is a serious health problem, and it could be a mega problem. We just don't know yet, but we are learning very quickly that this new virus has some characteristics that are quite alarming. And yes, the flu kills a few tens of thousands of people in this country every year. But we always worry about pandemics. And this is a pandemic by all definitions. Whether it becomes a global disaster is yet to be determined. And I think our medical community, our public health community is working very hard to get their hands around this problem and give us better guidance. But in the meantime, we need to do not panic, and keep our eyes and ears open for what we can do to protect ourselves.
You know, we keep hearing this is a novel coronavirus. What is this? What's different about COVID-19?
Well, viruses mutate very rapidly. When they get into the body of some organism, like ourselves, they pick up the DNA of that organism, and it mutates the virus. And when the mutations occur, they can have totally different characteristics. They can become more infective. They can become able to infect humans, whereas previously they may not have been. And they are transmitted differently in some situations. So it's and I guess the biggest concern is these are new, so we don't have immunity to them. And that's why the potential of this problem is so huge.
The flu kills less than, 0.01%, and the death rate here is over 2%. That's based on a lot of the statistics out of China, Ray Woosley.
Right, exactly. And there may be errors in those numbers. A lot of those numbers were determined when we didn't have testing. It could be that there are a lot of people who had the infection, but it was very mild and it never came to anyone's attention, which would be good. But it doesn't alter the fact that there are lots of deaths and there are people carrying this virus that we didn't know about for several weeks.
How about therapeutics? Everybody's talking about a vaccine that could be a year to a year and a half away. Maybe we have some products right now that could be used in a therapeutic sense. I know there's testing going on all over the world on that right now, Ray Woosley.
Exactly. And when the AIDS epidemic hit, that's exactly what happened. We went to the cupboard and found that there were drugs like AZT, which were effective against viruses, and they were developed within 6 to 9 months, but boy, were they toxic and had lots of side effects and were not ideal. It took a couple of decades before we really had what we think are reasonable treatments for AIDS. And it I say that because there could be something on the shelf right now that we could use for treating COVID-19, but it's going to take 6 to 9 months at least to know that, and it may be years before we find something that's really effective and safe for this new infection, for the large numbers of people who are going to need it.
I'm looking desperately, Ray Woosley, for a kernel of good news. And would this possibly be it, Ray, that China today reported the lowest number of cases in the country in 7 weeks?
I guess that's good news. I am always skeptical about news from China, so I would take that with a grain of salt. I think the data from our country right now are that we're finding people who have died. We didn't know it was the coronavirus. We're finding more and more cases, and we're finding that it's being transmitted much easier than we thought. So, yes, that may be good news. I think there are other people who are hoping that this virus will go away in the spring, like the flu often does, but I think that's probably not likely. We already know that this virus is infecting people in the southern hemisphere, where it's summer already. So I'd be shocked or surprised if it goes away completely. What's more likely is that it could go down a little bit in the summer, but in the flu, the disastrous flu of 1918, the Spanish flu, it went away during the summer or went down. But when it came back in the next winter, it was just worse than ever and was more devastating. So I think it means we need to get this vaccine available as soon as possible. I caution people that, you know, we've been working on a good flu vaccine for decades. Vaccines sometimes work. We get them quickly. But most of the time, it's trial and error to be sure you got the vaccine that's going to have the characteristics you want. So 18 months is a very optimistic estimate for a vaccine. 6 months, 12 months for a medicine that may be on the shelf, but we don't know it's there. And again, I'm painting a pretty bleak picture, I realize, but I think we need to know the facts.
What about wearing a mask? We have had this run on masks. Now healthcare professionals are worried about a shortage.
Exactly. It's become a problem. People think that they are, by wearing a mask, are protecting themselves. Masks are really good at containing an infection if you are infected. It keeps you from spreading it to others. But they're not recommended to try to prevent you from being exposed, because we usually get exposed by touching a handrail or touching something like a doorknob and then touching our face. So the healthcare community or the public health community is not recommending everybody go out and take up all the masks that are out. They are needed by doctors and nurses and patients who are infected. So I would not recommend that. Do recommend what the public health and the CDC recommends. Stay home when you're ill. Avoid touching your hands, nose, and mouth. Wash your hands very regularly. And those are the kinds of advice that I think can prevent you from becoming infected.
Is there something at Credible Meds on your website?
There will be a blog posted later today which has all this information. We recommend, and we'll have in this website a link to ready.gov, which is a really good website for being ready for any problem, natural disasters, earthquakes, etc., but also has information from the CDC on what to do to prevent you from being exposed to this and other viruses.
Again, I'm trying to find a kernel of good news, and how about this? The flu season, according to the CDC, perhaps peaked last week, and that at least we might not have to deal with the concurrent flu epidemic in March with the corona.
That indeed is very good news, and we know this. It's the devil we know, and if it's not as bad this year, that's really good news. It'll help us know, you know, the fewer cases of flu,
right,
the easier it makes us to be able to identify new coronavirus. And the testing for coronavirus or COVID-19 has been really less than satisfactory to this point. We now believe that the CDC assay and some of the diagnostic tests being developed by hospitals around the country are going to meet the needs and help us detect this more readily and be able to distinguish it from seasonal flu.
Ray Woosley, always a pleasure. CredibleMeds.org for more information. That information on corona is going to be posted there later this afternoon. Dr. Woosley, stay well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Ray Woosley, who does our Credible Meds Your Meds segment once a month, one of our great contributors. Got another one coming up, Dr. Mark Sykes of the Planetary Science Institute. He is with us right after this. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Lots of people deciding, well, maybe I'll take a kind of a telescoped vacation, kind of a what they call stay around your area vacation. How about a three-hour drive? That's not bad at all to a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. If you've not been over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, why not check it out? southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of ideas on places to go in the area, and there's lots of things to do and some great places to stay. So get away over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We're going to get away right now on the live line again with one of our two dozen contributors, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, based right here in Tucson, that now approaches coming up 45 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes is with us on the live line. He's very busy. Normally, he can get over here to the studio, but so much going on, including some pretty big events that are tied to your industry, Dr. Sykes, that look like they're going to be put, well, they have been canceled, some of them, haven't they?
Yes, there was the American Physical Society conference that was canceled with about, 12 hours to spare. And but people were already there for some meetings that were occurring, prior to the beginning of the, there's always like, breakout groups, workshops and stuff beforehand. and now we're waiting to see, or we have a major planetary science conference, the Lunar and Planetary Science Conference, in a couple of weeks in Houston. And right now they're all saying, well, hang in there, and we're going to hand out lots of hand wipes and stuff. But if it's canceled, it probably won't be until just before the meeting, just because of kind of contract stuff with the hotels and things.
The American Physical Society Conference, that's one in your industry. That's one of the big events, I think, attracts.
No. That's more physics. But it sparked a lot of discussion about what about our upcoming meetings? So and Washington State has said no conferences of more than 1,000 people, so there's this is as we start testing in this country, as the coronavirus starts to spread here at home, then we'll see how it all works out.
So I think, Mark, that we're really in this critical period, aren't we, right now? This next couple of weeks, we're going to know a lot more, are we not, about this corona?
Well, we're certainly going to know a lot more about what's going on in this country. China's been testing 1.5 million people a day, and South Korea's been developing 100,000 kits a day or something. And China took very aggressive steps. We have colleagues in Wuhan, to try to keep the virus from spreading over there, and it looks like it's paying off. But of course, for them, as the virus spreads to other parts of the world, they've kept a lot of people from being exposed, but now what about exposure to other people coming in from other parts of the world back to there? So it's not over. And the scary thing about, well, not scary, but the concerning thing about the coronavirus is that it appears to be, so much more fatal consequences than like regular flu by maybe a factor of 10. So the mortality rate has been going down as people say, hey, well, there's these light cases, and all that. But, there's still a lot to be to learn, because, we learned from Wuhan that the Chinese are counting deaths as those people who die in hospitals, not at home.
Oh, that's right.
And elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. I wish the media would kind of keep us more apprised on that kind of bottom line assessment as scientists get better data and figure it out to understand just what the level of concern is, and then we'll see how it plays out in terms of trying to minimize spreading in this country through things like meetings being canceled and stuff like that.
I agree 100% about, let's get some more scientific, get the media doing, giving us some more scientific bottom line stuff rather than this, I guess you have
and
to...
Real,
Go ahead.
Realizing it's something under development. You know, I mean, as you get more data, you know, then you revise your conclusions. You know,
right.
Just say, well, it's 0.1%, it's 2%, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, then and there's an end to it. No, there's more data to be gathered, but it's an ongoing thing, and it'd be nice to be hearing about that story.
Yes.
Rather than just how often are the word pandemic being used?
Exactly.
That's not a story.
And every headline with the word may, M-A-Y, it may this, something
well,
may.
Well, yeah, it may, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Because we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Anyway,
we don't know in this country because we haven't been testing.
Okay, let's go out of this world for a different story. I'm ready, man. For the first time, Mark Sykes, one commercial satellite has grabbed a hold of another one in orbit around the Earth. And this is important because, there's a lot of space junk up there, isn't there?
Yeah, but I think it's more important that it's extending the lives of these it's for moving satellites into kind of graveyard areas so that when they break up, they're not going to be populating very important real estate like geostationary satellite orbits where you park a satellite and it stays over one spot on the Earth because its orbit is the same as a day. And low Earth orbit, so it's great to get out any potential future source of debris, which is expanding just exponentially up there. But also, they're talking about using these satellites to do things like refueling satellites to extend their life, and considering the cost of these satellites, that's a great savings, and you know, it's just good business sense.
I guess this is the first time in history a docking has been performed with a small satellite that was not pre-designed with docking in mind.
That we know about. Yeah. From a commercial standpoint, and people have been working on this stuff for a long time. Both in terms of shifting as well as refueling and repairing, and there really does seem to be a good market in the future for designing these, you know, communication and other satellites to be serviced by other satellites.
And I didn't realize there was so much junk up there. 34,000 pieces of debris since 1957 with Sputnik.
That's big pieces. That's like 4 inches.
Oh,
you know, a something the size of a BB has punched a hole in like you know, space station shuttle things like that. It's a lot of energy that when they impact something up there. I mean, and so the more we have that little stuff which can't be tracked from the ground, you know, that's the big hazard. You know, the 30,000 stuff, that's a drop in the bucket of what's up there. It's all the smaller stuff that's the size of small marbles and BBs and even the sizes of dust that present a real hazard.
All right,
to operations.
Mark Sykes, always a pleasure, sir. Folks can find out more at psi.edu for more information about Mark's fine organization, Planetary Science Institute. Thank you, sir.
You bet. See you, Bill.
Mark Sykes with us on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. Lots of information for you today, a lot of content that we put in our 60-minute program. On behalf of my friend John Couch on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Coming up next, Dave Ramsey, always entertaining. And speaking of content, a lot of good content. Have a great day.